This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Better not have any flies on your cell phone, Rum. Don't want that. Don't want to pick it up. And the way Susan described the stickiness, ew.
Not so far.
I expected Susan to come in here mad,
you know? I don't know what's worse, mosquitoes or flies. Like, flies actually drive me, up the wall.
Yeah. Mosquitoes, obviously, they're a nuisance. They're painful. Some people they're really attracted to.
Can specifically, ruin a vacation or time outdoors. But flies.
And that high-pitched noise drives you crazy. But flies and that just being there, and then you start thinking where flies hang out. Yeah, I was in a garbage bag earlier today. Oh, yeah, it was a field full of cows over there, and I was walking along in that. There's a lot of stuff on the ground over there. Oh, my gosh, you start thinking too much. You're walking across my counter. Where have those feet been, fly?
Gross. I think carry so much.
With Ramya Amadhin.
Let's get into our Friday app update and switch gears a little to talk tech with John Beeler.
Hi, I'm John Beeler, technology expert from Vancouver. Join me on Kelly and Ramya, where I share the latest app, mobile, and tech news. Everything from accessibility and product launches to privacy and security. We'll cover the gamut.
John, we're starting off with some public reviews, if you will. The Humane AI Pin is being called the worst product I ever reviewed, and this seems to be kind of a general perspective for people who've tried it out. So tell us what the product is and tell us why it's being hated on so much.
Well, we talked about this a little while ago when it was first announced, and it had a lot of hype behind it because it was 6 years in development. They've had hundreds of millions of dollars in funding, and it's sort of run by a bunch of Apple former employees. So there's a lot of interesting sort of pieces to this puzzle. And when they first showed the first demos of it, it was very exciting. It's a very small little pin. It almost looks like a Star Trek communicator. You just have it on your body. You can talk to it, and you can also project with a built-in projector into your hand, the answers to the questions that you might ask AI, whether that be navigation, whether it's to read a message, whether it's to find a best place to go for dinner, those types of things. And the embargo's just lifted this week on the reviews of the people that have had it for a little while. And like you said off the top, universally, nobody seems to like this thing. There's no denying that there's some interesting tech here and that there's some very cool stuff packed into this little tiny package. But there's a number of reasons why people haven't been having a good time with it. And the biggest problem is that it's slow and clunky. You basically have to do everything via the cloud. You pay a subscription fee for internet service. And currently in the US, it only works on T-Mobile. So your options are kind of limited depending on where you live and how you're going to use it and that type of thing. And what a lot of people have seen when they're using it is they'll ask it a question and it can take 30 to 90 seconds to get an answer,
which is
practical. Yeah. So I will say though, the time alone is a pretty big, automatic fail for a lot of people. But what it was doing, it was kind of cool. If you're standing in front of a pizza place or a restaurant, and you can just basically ask it, does this place have good reviews? And it will take a picture of that place. It'll figure out where it is on the internet, look up their menu and see what the customer sentiment is, which is really cool. It just takes way too long for the average person to sort of sit there and wait for this response. The other thing that people have said is while the tech is really cool, it gets really hot and not in a good way because there's lots going on in this little package.
Yes.
So there's that. And then the other thing that's kind of interesting and it seems like a big issue, especially with AI and privacy and things like that, is that you actually have to tap it to activate it. So it's not listening all the time. It only activates when you touch it. But there's no authentication on that touching. So if you lose this thing, anybody will have access to your stuff. A simple solution that some reviewers have said is just instead of making it a tap thing, just make it a fingerprint ID thing. And so you just tap it. And
there's literally no security.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's problematic. Just okay. A little bit. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I think everyone had some pretty big hopes for this thing, but, you know, at almost $1,000 Canadian, it's like 700 US and a $24 US a month subscription fee.
What's that for?
That's basically for the cellular plan.
Yeah. No.
Because it doesn't pair with your phone. It's completely separate from your phone.
Oh, this is not
sounding
great.
I remember you saying that. Well, again, some of these things, John, what would you think of what's fixable? Obviously, like you said, take away the tap and give us some security, like a fingerprint. The heating up thing, that's really bad too, because it's a wearable and you're going to like, what's burning me under my coat? You know,
exactly. That thing.
Yeah.
And the length of time, no, man. By that time, people look out the window, oh, I know what you're doing, throw food at you. Get out of here. We've got good reviews. Beat it. What do you think would be the easiest? Like, do you see hope for, or these reviews just take it right down that where people would just give up? Like you said, that minute 30, that's long.
Well, what a lot of people have been saying in the reviews would be very interesting if they could find a way to put these large language model AI systems on the device itself, which is what we're seeing more and more with smartphones. They're having dedicated chips just for this purpose and dedicated memory to store these language models so that you can do a lot of that processing in real time. Obviously, looking up restaurant internet reviews is going to be something that you're going to have on your device, or at least you're not going to have the entire internet on your device. But there's things that they can do to optimize that. And I think the takeaway here is that perhaps this is just still too much of an alpha product, and they should have sort of kept it behind closed doors a little bit longer until they got that feedback from external parties, like they're getting in droves now from all the reviewers, and then actually go in and tweak a few things and then make it even a beta then. You know, coming out of the gate with a pretty poor solution is going to basically turn this device into a dead-end arrival device.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because, like you said, it sounds pretty promising on certain priorities and even concepts, right, conceptually, but it feels definitely still like a prototype. So to get kind of terrible reviews from everybody who has it is not very encouraging. Have they commented?
All these friends of Apple as reviewers. Yeah. These Apple people connected to Apple. Well, we'll give a review.
Apple's got history with this kind of thing anyway. But the stakes are high, right? Nowadays, the stakes are high, especially when you're talking about just like timing of feedback and things like that. You're like, come on, 90 seconds? Who waits 90 seconds for anything anymore? Also, have they commented specifically on anything since the feedback has poured in?
Well, in typical PR spin and speak, they have basically said that this is it's on a road of development and it will improve over time. But a lot of these reviewers are like, well, I can't make a review based on what might come. I have to base it on what I'm actually dealing with right now.
Yeah.
And the current state is not usable and not recommended for just about anybody, unless you're a super nerdy person that wants to play with new tech. But even then, I mean, I still want to play with this because I still think there's some interesting aspects about it. And I just wish that there was a better way to deal with the lag and the sort of the time to actually get stuff done.
That $25 a month fee.
And $1,000 to buy it. And in the States, you can't just have it on one network. That's just going to kill it.
Yeah, exactly. There has to be some changes to that whole system.
Yeah. And you can only say prototype just for so long, folks. No, you're beyond that. You know, and how is it going to adapt along the way? You want us to buy these, but you're going to make sure we can come in a year and switch it off, right, as you're adapting it. No. Your second item, sir, Limitless is a new AI tool for your meetings and an all-hearing wearable gadget. Interesting.
Yes. To flip the script a little bit, I thought I would include this. This is a very interesting little device that actually works with your computer, not your smartphone. And the idea behind it is that you pay $99 US for this particular device. It looks like a little clip-on thing. It almost looks like a Fitbit, that type of thing. And essentially, it is a microphone. And what it does is, in conjunction with the app, when you're in a meeting, it's recording everything, and it basically creates the ability for you to search the history of your meeting. So unlike just using Zoom and the baked-in AI tools that come with those types of video conferencing, this is meant for like you're in a physical meeting with physical people, and you need to record something. And so they spent a lot of time making the microphone in this very specific for this type of situation. And, you know, it's a pretty inexpensive price point. So what you can do then is you can actually talk to the the software that's on your computer, and it'll have the ability to, so you can go things like, you know, what did Kelly mention? What was that app that he mentioned, you know, in that meeting at the beginning of the meeting? Hmm. It'll actually be able to go back and surface that information to the top of your software, and then you'll have those records. And, you know, whatever it is, you can sort of talk to it, and it will use AI to sort of package those summaries and the results of that information that you're looking for very succinctly. And they have some pretty lofty goals with this particular tool, because it's also meant to work with any app that you're using while you're in a meeting. So say you bring up a spreadsheet or a PDF or something like that, it'll sort of hoover up all that stuff, which again, as we've talked lots of times, is a concern, because you're putting it all into this company's cloud system basically letting their AI hoover it all and basically create a language model based on your meeting experiences, your software, your presentations, your deliverables, all that kind of stuff, and then let you talk to the AI to sort of surface information out of that.
But I mean, yeah, and all of that is, of course, definitely concerning. But when we narrow in on this kind of use case for AI, doesn't it seem very, you know, it's an efficiency tool. It's something where you can really utilize it for a lot of different contexts and types of work. I think it's very useful. Now, did you mention anything, John, about something similar for email? You know, be able to kind of search inboxes and such. Is there any tool out there that uses AI help to surface different questions or topics or whatever to the top of an inbox?
Well, Google's baking that into Gmail.
Okay,
so
yeah.
You have that option.
Yeah.
Just one more thing on the limitless pendant, as they're calling it. It does have an interesting feature, because imagine we sat down in a meeting and I'm wearing this pendant and we've never met. And you might say, well, what is that pendant doing? Are you recording me?
Right.
Limitless has a functionality built in. It's called consent mode. And basically what it does is it won't actually record our conversation. It'll just record me, but it won't record you until you actually consent on the microphone to be recorded, which I think is a really interesting thing that we
ideally, but how do we know that's the way it works? Because if it's taking you, how is it not taking that? Or is it just that it's not keeping the data that it's taking from the other person?
Yeah, because it's basically
it's still hearing.
It's using an array of microphones to sort of capture the room, and it will remove background noise. It'll remove people that haven't consented. It's basically a filter, if you will, for the audio.
All right.
I wonder if it could do multiple people. But anyway, we'll save that for another
day. Let's get to Google One really quickly. The Google One VPN service is headed to the Google graveyard. Why?
Yeah, this is sad, because I think we spent a whole segment on this a few months ago when they basically widened it and made it available to anybody. Because originally it was only for Google One subscribers, and you had to have like a Pixel phone or there's some other string attached to it. And it's a very simple to implement, like literally one switch to turn on the VPN. And it is probably one of the faster VPNs out there. Like a lot of things in Google land, Google's retiring it because they said no one's using it. And it makes it really difficult to want to recommend any Google product, because you know
it's got
a short shelf life.
Yep. Yeah, this is honestly, it feels so typical no matter how good the product was, no matter how well liked. And they can say, yeah, but there wasn't enough uptake. But we just think pattern for Google. Unfortunate, but thanks for sharing it, John. And we'll chat with you next week.
Sounds great.
John Beeler joins us for our app updates, and that's every Friday where we talk a couple things tech.
We're out of here for a couple of minutes, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, the France Tourism Alliance has created a video game to help Paralympic volunteers create an iconic experience for athletes and visitors. Nazreen Abdelmajid had that story for us on The Buzz after this.
Keep it here for more of Kelly and Ramya on AMI TV.
Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that can be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.